I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42, reading verses 5 through 9. In the Pew Bible, the passage is on page 622. Isaiah 42, 5 through 9. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. If you would think with me for a moment about covenants. The word covenant is used here, and in the sermon title it says, "Your covenant." But think about covenants, and in particular, different covenants from your own life. For many, the first thing that would come to mind would be a covenant of marriage. But I want you to go back even further than a covenant of marriage. Maybe you made a promise, and that's what a covenant is. It's an agreement or a promise made between two different parties. But maybe you made a promise with a friend, and we never did this. We always did other things. But maybe you pinky swore, right? You hooked pinkies together and you pinky swear to keep that promise. Or maybe yours was cross my heart and hope to die. Which, yes, we used to say that a lot. The older I got, the more I thought about it. That really wasn't all that great a thing to be saying, right? But that was a serious promise. Or maybe, as some of us did, you would find a pocket knife or something and prick your finger and put your fingers together with the other one, and now you were blood brothers. And so that promise, that covenant, was binding in other ways. Now, I know in movies the guys take their knife and they cut their palm and put it together. But you know, most kids were satisfied with a pinprick. Or maybe you said, "I promise, no crossies." And you had to show your hand so that you didn't have one behind your back. And yet you crossed your toes and your boots, right? We could go on and on about those kinds of promises that we made and the seriousness with which we took them. But I want to ask, how many of those covenants, and I'm not asking for hands to be raised, but how many of those covenants, how many of those promises have you kept? Really kept? Seriously kept? Now, think for a moment with me about when you accepted God's covenant to save you and to guide you and to protect you. And what did you promise? For you see, a covenant is between two different parties. And typically in the Bible, a covenant is an agreement between two parties of unequal status. One is more powerful than the other. But with trust and integrity, they agree to uphold each end of their bargain with no real means of enforcing it. So if you decide not to, you've broken the covenant, but how can the other person force you? Now, if God is God and wants to, God can. But God chooses to maintain the integrity of His promise. And so, God makes that covenant with us. And we accept that to accept Jesus as your Savior. And maybe that was part of the promise. I accept you as my Savior. And that is part of the promise. Some people would say, and Lord. But a lot of people just want to stop at the first part, the Savior part. Next, think back, and how have you done? How have I done? How have you done? How many times have we had to be reminded that God's covenant with us isn't a one-way street? God's covenant with us goes both ways. That's what a covenant is about. It goes both ways. And quite frankly, there have been times in my life where I wish it didn't go both ways. But as we are here near the beginning of a new year, and this would have been said last week, but then again, we had weather issues. As we are at the beginning of a new year again, we need to think again, I think, about the covenant. About the covenant that we as individuals and we as a congregation, a body of believers, a community of faith, have made with God. Now the passage for today is actually part of a larger series of poems here in Isaiah. And those poems have described the coming of the Lord near the end of the age. The passage today continues that theme as well as talking about the creation which God has made, as well as other concerns, in particular the covenant that God has made, not just with the earth, but with those who are called by God and accept that call. Here, as we read a few moments ago, the universal framework of history and nature is called to mind initially. Thus says God, the Lord, the one who created the heavens and stretched them out, the one who spread out the earth and gives what comes from it, the one who gives breath to the people and spirit to those who walk in it. In other words, at the outset, we're reminded this is not just some flunky that we're talking with here or talking about. This is the God who created in the beginning and without whom there is not life. There is no life without God. There is no breath. The Hebrew writers understand that God is the author and the sustainer, not just of Israel, but the author and the sustainer of all of creation and all people, whether they recognize Him or not. And He calls here upon the people, His servant people, first of all, to recognize that He's not just a nice idea. He's not just a bunch of stagnant codes. He's not an impotent statue. Rather, God is a living and active God who gives breath. When it says here, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it, it's not, notice it, not the past tense, who gave breath and then just let them trot on off, but who continues to give breath and spirit and life to the people. Old Testament theologian C.F.D. Moule wrote, and I quote, "The great disease of our time is that we talk about God and about our religion and yet do not regularly confess Him as a living God." End of quote. We like to take God and put Him up on a shelf, or J.B. Phillips' God in a Box, or the great cosmic Santa Claus, or on and on we could go. The cosmic policeman. We try to pigeonhole God. And yet, Moule says we do that, but we refuse to confess Him as a truly living God that is active daily within our lives. God didn't just breathe into the first man, but God breathes into all the living breath. the Spirit. And here, while I know that this passage is often used and many people say, oh, well, it's talking about Jesus, the servant, because of the next few verses. Here, the people are being reminded, Israel is being reminded by the prophet that they have been called as servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord, every so often, some more than others, need to be reminded of God's giving them not only redemption, but calling them to serve. And giving them the breath of life, not just to animate us, but the breath of life in His Spirit to help us truly live that covenant as God's people. We don't just make the agreement, sign it, fold it up and stick it in a safety deposit box or in a sock drawer, and forget about it until it's time to cash in the policy. When we make that agreement and that covenant with God, we covenant to do, to live, to be servants. As I said a few moments ago, verses 6 and 7 are most often associated with the servant of the Lord as seen in Jesus, right? A light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners, that is, to set the captives free. And a part of the prophet is read by Jesus, though not this specific passage. And then he says, today in your hearing the scriptures are fulfilled. And that's true. Jesus is the ultimate servant of the Lord. However, within the context of this passage, we have to also understand that these words are spoken as a covenant reminder to the people of God. They're being spoken to Israel, not to Jesus off in the future. Israel, and I would suggest to you, not just Israel, but the church today and in the past and for the future. We are a called people. We're a called people. A called people with a divine mission and a divine destiny. Israel had a divine mission and a divine destiny. And so often Israel broke the covenant and didn't fulfill that. But then again, the church has a divine mission and a divine destiny. And how often do we as church, individually and corporately, throughout the world, not just in Piedmont, but throughout the world, how often do we neglect our covenant, our part of it? Far too often we'd rather just accept the part of that covenant where God gives and forget about the part of the covenant where we give back. We are confirmed in righteousness and with righteousness. I am the Lord, I have called you. And literally you could translate this from the text, I am the Lord, the one who calls you in righteousness, and taken you by the hand and kept you, or the word also means led you. We are confirmed in righteousness and with righteousness from God. Here, we are to live as a called people. Not just with righteousness, but in this particular instance, the word used also means the purpose with which God intends the calling to be carried out. Righteousness refers to that purpose of God's call, and if we answer it to our commitment to that purpose as well, God leads. He says, I have taken you by the hand and kept you, led you. God leads. But if we don't take Him by the hand or allow Him to take us by the hand, we really can't follow. And if we do not, we are abdicating the call which He gives to each of us. We often in our lives sing the song, and we've sung it so many times, and you know where I'm going, which song I'm talking about leading. And it's not "Lead On, O King Eternal." But we have sung so many times that we become, in some ways, almost immune to the fact that it is indeed a song of our covenant. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. And in the back of our minds, we're thinking, as long as it's not, fill in the blank. As long as it doesn't mean I have to go to, fill in the blank. Or as long as there's not something else that I'd rather be doing at the time. We have to allow God to take our hand, but then we have to willingly give it and follow through on the commitment. And now here's both the good news and the tough news. I've kicked that bowl 3 times. I'm going to kick it over yet. So better move it. I don't want your fish to not have a home when you go by Walmart and pick them up. But here's both the good news and the tough news. God says, I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. And so immediately we say, oh, He's talking about Jesus. Well, yes, but He's also talking about you and me. Not just Jesus. We are to be the examples and the bearers of God's covenant. That covenant of redemption, of that which is to be right within the world. It's not just someone else's responsibility, it is each and every one of our responsibilities. We are to be those examples. We are to be those bearers. God gave you as His covenant. God's gracious purpose for the nations is not just found in Jesus. It is to be embodied in you and in me and in all of those who claim that call. Not just to be saved, but to be servants. We are to be and to live the light which is needed to guide. We are to help bring sight to the blind, that is, to open their eyes. And to bring out prisoners from the dungeons and the prisons of darkness. Now, we're not talking about we're going to go and we're going to get helicopters and armored vehicles and conduct prison breaks. That's not what He's talking about here at all. Not physically bringing people out of the prisons into the light. Rather, He is talking here in a spiritual sense. We as God's covenant people are responsible. We are to be committed to help bring people from the bondage of a lack of light or insight. A lack of light or insight into God and who God is. A lack of light or insight into the Bible. A lack of light or insight into religion. And that's good news, but it's also tough news. It's good news that we have that liberation and that redemption. The tough news is we now, if we're in covenant with God and we take our covenant seriously, we are also to be the ones who give sight to the blind, the spiritually blind. But in order to do so, we must first remove our own blinders. To bring those out of the darkness in a spiritual sense. But first, we too must come out of the darkness and study and learn. As we live as the covenant people, we also give more glory to God by our living and by our giving of self giving of knowledge, giving of tithes and offerings, giving of service to others. For it is only God who is worthy of the glory. But as covenant people, we are to live in such a way to bring that glory to God. We don't do that by living unglorious lives or selfish lives. It is only God who receives that glory and is worthy of it. But it is also found in your life and mine. It's not the evangelist or the preacher or the healer that basks in the adoration of large crowds filling coliseums and huge buildings. Rather, the glory is for God alone. And the only addition we give to that glory is by our daily living of the covenant. God says, the old things have been fulfilled and I'm declaring new things. The new things include the redemption in and through Jesus, but the new things also include the redemption of the world in and through God's covenant people. We have the good news for the world. Not just the vocational ministers, but every one of us has the good news for the world. We made a covenant with God when we accepted Him to follow where He leads, even if that's uncomfortable to the neighbor next door, to the family member that we know we should speak a word, but we're just kind of afraid. We don't want to be declared the holy roller or the holier than thou. And we don't want to live the holy roller or the holier than thou position because we are no more holy than they in and of ourselves. But we are in covenant. In fact, here the prophet says, we are God's covenant. When we live the commitment and when we take our covenant seriously enough to be here, to share here, to share there, and to share wherever He leads. God has made a covenant with you and with me. What is our covenant to Him? May we pray. Gracious God, we thank You for caring enough to want to be in relationship, for making the covenant to save us, to redeem us, to lead us. Help us to remember even more our covenant in accepting that call to help to lead others, to help to share with others, to be the fulfillment of Your covenant of love and grace with those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 563. Open my eyes that I may see. And as a result, be able to open the eyes of the blind and bring the captives out of darkness. Number 563, open my eyes that I may see.